Hi, this is Anne Marie Williams of Public Words Project, and I want to share that I'm sitting at Starbucks Coffee here at the beautiful farmer's market, the original farmer's market, and I have a wonderful person here sitting here with me again, the famous and wonderful Dr. Marla Parker.
Welcome. Aww, hi, thank you so much. I'm cheesing over here. I cannot stop smiling whenever you say this wonderful stuff about me. So thank you so much, and ditto.
Well, I value you. I mean, you're very kind and generous and smart. And you, whenever I ask you, you're like, okay. People are going to start like, oh, God, it's Dr. Parker again.
Oh, I know, and, I know. Change is coming, people. It's coming.
Well, we're bringing you back again for a handful of reasons, and I'm going to look at my list.
Okay.
So today we're going to be chatting about being an introvert.
Yes.
And you and I have talked about you being an introvert, and I find that fascinating because you have a job that is public facing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss how does an introvert survive small talk and have a job with dealing with the public, performing in front of the public, having a public facing, communicative kind of job, and. Yeah, and that's about it for right now.
Great.
So let's talk about... Ooh, I have questions.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Ready?
I am ready. Bring it on.
So just remind us first your name.
Okay.
Where you work, what you do.
Okay.
Your favorite color, favorite word.
And food, maybe? Okay.
I know what the food is, girl.
So I am Dr. Marla Parker. I work at California State University, Los Angeles, in the political science department. And kind of further down, I work in the public administration program. So I teach undergraduates policy and politics.
Hold on real quick. So, you know, we're doing these podcasts out in the public because we're practicing our public words. And it's also fun to watch people watch.
It is. It
but
is.
But also... people are doing their job.
They are.
And someone just rolled a very large wagon by. Okay.
Yes.
Well, now we were talking to Dr. Wilson and we had sirens. Okay. Mm-hmm. So please continue.
Sure. So I teach undergraduates and graduates political science and public administration. And this is my third year.
Mm-hmm. And just don't forget to tell us about your...
The Civic and Social Innovation Group. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So I have been working with Dimitri Seals, and we founded CASIG, the Civic and Social Innovation Group, back in 2017. And it was our way, our attempt to basically bring social entrepreneurship to the forefront of Cal State LA and to make sure that our students, no matter what discipline they're in, they can see themselves in the social impact space and help them to realize that entrepreneurship innovation is not just for certain majors, certain disciplines. It's up for grabs for anybody. So we've been doing that now for about a year and a half, and we have our Civic and Social Innovation Summit coming up the week of December 10th.
Yes, you do, and I'll be part of that again.
Yay!
Sucka. Okay, so you self-describe as an introvert.
Yes.
Define it for us.
For me, I would say being an introvert means that I get a lot of strength from solitude. I tend to be more inward focusing. So even if I look kind of cool, calm, and collected on the surface, my mind is just racing. I have I think it's a French philosopher, Henri Amiel, would say, a rich inner life. So one of my favorite quotes is from him is something like, a man with a rich inner life will not be a slave to his surroundings. And so for me, having a lot of solitude, a lot of just time to be introspective and to observe the world rather than being just jumping right into the middle of it is what being an introvert is about for me.
Which I find fascinating.
And why?
Because you're a professor who speaks in front of people.
Mm.
It's like a stand-up comic saying, I'm going to, you know, the president, never mind. Stay away from that topic.
Yes.
So I've done a little study, because I'm always trying to keep up with Dr. Parker.
Oh, boy.
So do you know what the acronym STAR stands for?
It describes several types of introverts.
Yes.
Yes, I know that the T is thinking.
Yes. So I'm going to jump in because I just kind of threw that at you.
Go ahead. It's okay.
I mean, you try. This S starts.
Social, thinking.
Anxious. Is
anxious
A.
And depressed. No.
Restrained.
Restrained. Okay.
So STAR, the acronym starts These are the four levels of being an introvert: mm-hmm. social, thinking, anxious, and restrained.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you think fits you?
Who?
Or there could be a combo.
Yeah, it's definitely a combo for me.
You're definitely thinking.
Yes, I'm very thinking. I would say I'm restrained. I would say, like, okay. I don't know if there's a middle between restrained and social. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say that would you're social and thinking
mm-hmm.
and restrained. Yeah, I would say you're STR.
STR. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
You're not anxious. I don't. Do you feel awkward?
Yes,
well,
I do.
Maybe you're a star.
Maybe I'm a full-on star. There you go. Shining brightly in the sky.
Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Okay. So you have to, like, recharge.
Yes.
Like, so what, mm-hmm. well, how does an introvert prepare mm-hmm. to lecture?
Oh, it's a mental preparation first because... just like a quick diversion here, that was the one thing about my PhD program that I was really most anxious about was getting ready to teach. And for me, it wasn't just the fact that I went to a school where teaching wasn't emphasized. So it's not only that I really didn't know how to teach, but even just, you know, again, the practice of getting up in front of people. So I only had one class that I taught before I actually went ahead to do full-on teaching. And everything else I've done has been online teaching. And so when I remember when I was a PhD, knowing that academic life was going to be my life, I was like, can I just do online teaching, you know, for the rest of this gig? And I can just, you know, research and I can just cover teaching online or like some kind of distance online kind of a thing.
Was it a live version to that online teaching?
No, or it wasn't. It wasn't a hybrid.
Would live, mm-hmm. I don't mean to cut you off.
No,
friend,
go ahead. Yeah.
Would live mm-hmm. web versions mm-hmm. bother you as an introvert?
Not as much, no.
Okay.
And the other thing too is that going back to the original question about how do you get ready to teach, right?
It's we never branch off. That's no. Right. We always stay focused. Okay, I'm glad.
Right.
See? That's me clapping.
See?
Way to go! High five. Way to go. Stay on point.
But I have to remember that for me as an introvert, teaching is almost like performance, and so
it is, right?
Uh-huh. So I have to kind of turn one part of myself off and turn another part on. And luckily, I do have some experience with that because I used to dance in middle school and in high school, and I did a teeny tiny stint as a model. And so I know, right?
I learn more about you each time.
So I've been in these situations where I've been on stage, right? Not really speaking, but just with movement. But I think that was enough to help me to understand the dimensions of performance, right?
I'm going to make you catwalk when we're done with this, by the way.
No.
Get rid of Brett Starbucks.
Okay. So I really have to just turn that performance side on, but also I have to come out of my own head and realize the teaching is not about me. It's about the students, right?
Right. Well, that's the fundamental in public speaking. It's not mm-hmm. about you. It's about the audience. You're
exactly.
disseminating that information. So
right.
Yeah,
right. And so I have to realize that I'm doing a service to my students at this point. And the way that I teach is that it really doesn't just involve me lecturing, but it really does involve the students contributing to the content, and it just makes it that much better. But what I have to get over a little bit more now is just conference speaking, because there is no opportunity for exchange a whole lot when you're in conferences, yeah. right? And so the very first academic conference that I did, totally flubbed it. Completely flubbed it. I didn't put my presentation on the computer properly. And so when it was my turn, I clicked on it and nothing popped up. The room was silent, like pin drop silent. I had to walk
awkward.
Back into the audience, right, with my advisor right there. And he was looking at me like, I know you did not just do this. And I had to grab my, while the audience is looking at me, all eyes on me, I had to grab my presentation and just get it right with this awkward silence, you know, in the room. So, yeah, it's all about kind of turning myself off, knowing that I'm about to be of service, and try to involve other people.
Do you do any type of breathing and meditation, or you just, like, you just do your own kind of mechanisms in your own head?
Well, when I first started, I did that. I did breathing, and I just tried to imagine myself in the space. And now I do less breathing. And also what helps me is that I'm always, this is going to sound weird, but I'm always talking to myself.
You're always what?
Talking to myself. Okay. So I told my students not too long ago that before I even lecture to you in this room, like, I'm lecturing to myself in the shower. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm lecturing to myself getting ready for work. And so by the time I get to you all, it's just continuation of that. Right. And then one of my students was like, well, don't feel bad because I hear that really smart people talk to themselves.
There you go. There's an excuse.
Right.
That's what we're going to grasp. I just got a dog, so it doesn't seem that bad. When did you start realizing this level? When did you discover you were an introvert, or you had these patterns, or these patterns were... You were heading towards these patterns.
I've always had them, but the problem is, when did I recognize it, that I could label it as an introvert?
Yes.
I would probably say...
And I'm asking for I'm asking this for a reason, because...
Sure.
As people are listening to us, I want them to be able... You know, this is all about relating and learning and passing things forward.
Yes.
But, like, I want... So, can you tell me, like, when did you recognize it? So, if someone's in a similar situation,
sure.
they can be like, oh, I'm not...
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, I would probably say in my mid-20s. It took me that long to figure that out. And so...
You're becoming an adult.
Yes.
Different environments.
Quarter life crisis. There you go. And so I totally had one. So I think I was just, you know, indulging in my own propensity to be curious and looking online at stuff. And I kind of went down the rabbit hole to some kind of psychology article, and it was talking about introverts and extroverts, and I hadn't heard the term before. And I was, as I was reading, it was like the sky just like lit up and it parted, right? And it was yes, exactly.
I always make that sound when we do the podcast.
Yes. Because I realized that, oh, I'm not alone, right? I'm not weird, right? Mm-hmm. And there is something that describes, you know, who I am, and it's not anything that is negative, right? It's just descriptive, right? So that for me started this journey of really understanding more and more what an introvert was, but also what the value is in being an introvert, right? Because introverts can be powerful people, right? I think there's maybe a misconception that we're not powerful folks, but, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, but we can be pretty, you know, powerful people. So, yeah. So it's been, I've become more comfortable being an introvert over time. So, yeah.
I'm fascinated with the path and the processing inside one's head.
Yeah.
Of course, an introvert can be powerful and educated. That's a given. So have you ever locked up while teaching or public speaking or presenting? Like your introverted energy kind of just went, hello.
I have had moments teaching where I just kind of draw a blank for a second.
How do you get over that? Get back to the point.
Right. No, you're right. So I'm silent, right? And I verbally say, it's the kind of cue to the audience, something like, let me think about this for a second, right? Or let me get my bearings together for a minute, right? And I look up to the sky or look around, you know, and I really just honor even that those few moments to say, I am going to get my mind right, and I really have to focus on that, as opposed to, oh my god, people are silent and they're staring at me, right? If it's something, I remember this during my dissertation defense, I totally remember one of the committee members asked me a question about my research, and I locked up then, right? But I pulled out the old trick book, and I said, can you please repeat that question for me one more time?
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that gave me some time to get my bearings together. And it's perfectly acceptable in academic, you know, environments where if someone asks you a question, you can write it down and kind of write your answer to you at the same time. Yeah. So that's totally fine. And so I use that.
I remember I locked up. Remember?
Yeah,
I was coaching.
Yes, my graduate class.
And, it was a long day that day.
Yeah.
And here I am coaching them how to public speak, and I just locked up, and it felt like a minute. I'm sure it's probably 15, 30 seconds. And, and the thing I admired about you is you didn't panic, because a lot of people would have panicked and jumped in. Mm-hmm. And see, that was a test. I was testing you. That's all I was doing. You did well. See, you did so well. But, you know, it's like I had to own it.
Yep.
Because I was just like owning it.
Mm-hmm. But that was such a valuable lesson to the students, though, because you even said, you know, this is going to happen sometimes, right? Yes. And so you modeled it for the students, right? And so...
I did it on purpose.
Okay, Anne Marie.
Yeah, we're going to go with that one.
All right, okay.
You don't look convinced. That's okay. We're just joking now. I walked up. But even with me, because I've been, you know, years of performing, stand-up comedy, speaking, large or small groups. And there was one moment I'm like, am I going to get out of this? I was just looking at the paper. I'm like, but I had to step back, take a breath.
Right.
Like, for me, breathing's huge. Like, I had to take a deep breath and, like, look up and, like, okay, I just lost it for a second. And then,
right.
And then, so that's why I was asking. And that's one thing, like, you know, with the coaching with Public Words Project is giving people those skills, those tools, and making them innate, making them muscle memory and memory.
Absolutely.
So, I have here a question, like coping skills.
Yes.
Like, you kind of like been talking about that, but let's switch the question to like, can you give any kind of like coping skills to someone, a young person coming up that might be introverted and finding their way as they speak or teach? What kind of coping skills can you share with them?
I would say, and I've actually talked to one of my students about this, don't feel like you just have to jump into a social situation and stay the entire length there. And it's okay to walk away. And I've had to kind of build myself up to, you know, have endurance to be in social settings. And, you know, sometimes I find myself being like, you know, I need breaks, right? And so I would encourage, you know, folks who are introverted, especially younger people, to, you know, put your big toe in the water, right? But you don't have to keep it there for the entire time, right? Do things in spurts, you know. And a strategy that I have, especially when it comes to going to conferences and being in larger public spaces, is I look for spaces within that space where I can just kind of duck out, right? And just say, look, I need to have a breather from talking, so let me go to this one spot. And also, I think it's important that you have a plan for where you're going to the extent possible, right? Especially at conferences when it's all about networking and all of that. And you may want to say, okay, look, I am going to focus on talking to this person, and then I'm out, right? And I'm done, right? And for me, too, with conferences, I know that at the end of conferences, I can't do the social thing afterwards, right? Okay. Like, I have to go back to my room, right? Because, and so really feel yourself out and what your limits are. And as you're in social situations, be, I would say, like, hyper mindful about what your triggers might be. So when you find yourself maybe kind of spiraling a little bit and kind of wearing out, you know, make sure you're cognizant of those things so that when you go into another space, you can make some kind of a plan for yourself.
I think this is really good advice because, you know, especially in the conference situation, the professional conference situation and networking, your behavior could be misidentified. And that's also what I've been reading in this, because I was prepping for this. And I was reading, according to, there's some articles in Forbes and Wall Street Journal, and also another source that I was reading, saying that the introvert will often get mis-ID'd.
Right.
And that can really be to the undoing of the person as they're trying to move forward in their career. And then, yeah, so it's good advice to be able to find out what, you know, find out where your line is.
Right.
If you see your line coming up soon, step away, get some water, go outside, get some air, find a way to get yourself out of the situation.
Right.
And re-engage. I was at the N10 conference 2 years ago in Washington, D.C., and I have been identified as an extrovert. And also, I can't cuss on this.
Right.
and if you listen to our podcast before, I am an ambivert.
Ambivert.
So, you know, at that N10 conference there all day, and then networking, socializing, taking in high levels of tech information.
Yes.
I had to go to the room.
It's a lot.
And decompress. Take a shower. Taking a shower helps me because just refreshes. Then I went to the social portion of it.
Good,
for eating.
Good.
And I get it. I get it. And I like it. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine someone who struggles with it. It's a lot of work.
It is a ton of work. It is.
But with sharing that, it's not daunting or it's not impossible.
Right. You know?
And people listening to this, it's not impossible.
No, not at all.
You're listening to Dr. Parker and I, and we're talking about different things that we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so important to get to that level of being able to socially network and then to professionally network and whatnot. And also, if you get a job where you have to present.
Right.
There are ways to get around it.
Absolutely.
And everyone can do it. So please, if you're listening to this, don't be panicked. Like, I can never do it. You can do
it. Yeah. Just give yourself some grace and some time and some practice. You don't have to go from 0 to 180.
Right. And also, I'm going to actually put on your bio or on the website a quiz to take to find out what level of introvert one happens to be.
That would be fun.
But as we're discussing this, I want to say, you know, this is all purely educational. If someone's suffering or has a mental health issue or has some sort of condition that they need professional help with, we are not the ones to turn to that.
No.
You should seek a professional. Go to, you know, call 211, go to your doctor, go to someone and find what we're talking about is purely for educational purposes. And if you're in that situation to seek professional help.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that either. So
there is absolutely nothing wrong with seeking professional help. If one breaks one's arm, one goes to the doctor.
Exactly. Yes.
And that's the way we have to look at our mental health also. So we're going to keep this. We're going to keep this one short.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
All right. Sounds good.
So, introverts of the world unite.
Unite. Yes. Introverts unite. Absolutely. Yes.
And I applaud you for being, sharing this with us. And because you don't have to.
Well, it's my pleasure. And especially now that I'm a teacher and I see students who I could see in myself in, right? Just kind of hesitant and reticent. And knowing that there's a lot underneath there, you know? And it is perfectly normal and cool to be an introvert, you know? You can be successful in many ways as an introvert, even in positions that on the surface may seem just made for an extrovert, you know? You have a lot of avenues and a lot of strengths, so embrace it.
And, you know, being an extrovert is not the answer either.
right. Exactly.
Obnoxious extroverts out there. Hey, don't you dare put me in that. Don't you look at me. You better look away, girl. Do not look at me when I said that.
Oh, my gosh. You saw it coming. No.
There's the fight, as in life, the balance is the answer. So, thank you so much.
No, thank
Dr.
you.
Parker.
Thank you.
We'll figure out another reason and rhyme to bring you back again.
Perfect. I'd be happy to. I'd be happy to. Thank you so much, Anne Marie. And thank you for what you're doing with this. This is phenomenal. So I can't wait to see you blossom even more.
I'm a cherry. Blossom. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Public Words Project. And stay tuned and share with your friends. Share the love. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.